And welcome to this podcast extra, Close Encounters of the Scouse Kind. Now, to many of us of a certain generation, and maybe a few more besides, there are five notes that when put together mean only one thing. You know the ones I mean, the ones that go something like this. Those five notes came to mind when I was out walking diagonally and musing over the different types of conversation I have with people. It struck me that they could be broken down into three different types of, well, let's call them encounter. The first type of encounter is when I initiate a conversation. A typical example might be when I greet somebody, or it might be a courtesy. For example, a receptionist in a hotel might ask me, where am I off to now? And that would then start a conversation. These are the most transactional of the encounters, and can be useful and interesting, but very rarely really result in a deep conversation. The second type of encounter tends to be more spontaneous. Now, a good example of that would be a conversation I struck up with a woman in a cafe in Crosby. I'd gone in there to charge my phone off the power pack that I carry. I just needed to sit down for a bit as well. My feet had had enough. Anyway, she was the woman who was serving behind the counter, and it was pretty quiet, and she came out from behind the counter. And I can't remember how it happened, really. We just sort of then struck up a conversation which went on for 10 or 15 minutes, during which we had a proper exchange, in as much as I told her about diagonal walking and she told me about her holiday in Zimbabwe. This was a particularly fruitful conversation, in as much as she then started telling everybody else in the cafe about me, which, when you're tired and also a little bit hungry, okay, I've had a coffee, but I did resist the cake, is probably a little bit more than I needed. A close encounter of the third kind is when somebody approaches me. Let me give you an example. I was in a park outside Liverpool, and it was a hot day, and I had emerged from the end of the Transpennine Trail, so it seemed like a good opportunity to find a park bench, divest myself of my rucksack, take on some water, and then really just bend the knees a bit and get the blood moving in bits where they'd forgotten what it was like to circulate. Anyway, I was doing that, and I was wearing a diagonal walking t-shirt, which has the logo on the front, and on the back has the various social media tags and the phrase, walk with me, dot, dot, dot. I didn't really notice him approaching, and this bloke came up behind me, and it was, walk with fucking me, what's that fucking about? And then a conversation flowed. It turned out he'd moved to Liverpool from Oxford, though I have a feeling he hadn't been a don. And we got talking about the area and what it was he liked about it, and it was a really useful chat. That was an encounter of the third kind. I wasn't ready for it, and it just happened. As well as these, there's the encounter of the fourth kind, the scouse kind. Now, the use of the term scouser to describe somebody from Liverpool is widespread, but why? Well, scouse is a form of cheap stew, or even a kind of broth, which was cooked by the very poor in Liverpool in the 19th century, and the name comes from that. It's probably one of the most recognisable accents going, but it's actually confined to a very small geographical area. Other than the day I actually spent in Liverpool, when I probably heard as many Japanese accents, when I was on the road, I probably only heard it for about a day. It's the result of a sort of melting pot of lots of different accents from all the different peoples that came to Liverpool in the 19th century, the Welsh, the Irish, Eastern European, and all those different accents overlaying on English. There's also a number of variants between different areas of the city, but they're not discernible to the ears of us woolies. That's what Scousers call non-Scousers, by the way. Woolies, or wools. Now, I'm not going to go through some kind of teach-yourself Scouse thing here, but there are a few characteristics of the accent. A liberal use of the word like, for example, e.g., you know, like, you know, being also very popular. Then there are the elongated endings, or the almost sing-song nature of some of the things that they say. The words run into each other, and they can often drop the final letter, like da, rather than that. Then again, there's also the local slang, which is a bit like, I suppose, Cockney rhyming slang. There are words which only Scousers use to mean certain things, like Baltic, for example. Baltic means cold. And there's a lot of nasal sounds. And funnily enough, there's a good reason for that. That's because the parents of children often had very bad head colds, and the children would grow up because that they thought the way their parents were speaking was normal. The reason they had the colds, of course, was because they were so poor in the first place. But enough of the theory. Let's hear some of it in action. I thought it'd be fun to play you a short clip of an encounter I had with a bird watcher along the Mersey Way, looking out over the Mersey. This is fairly typical of the sorts of encounters that I have when I'm doing diagonal walking. It's typical in as much as people are often very keen to tell you much more about themselves rather than to be inquisitive and ask you about what it is you're doing. Anyway, let's get going.
Hi there. Seen much?
Pardon?
Seen much?
Not usual. I've just seen a few bullfinches up there.
Right. Yeah.
Just the other side of the... literally the other side of the...
I've paused it there, because as you can hear, the poor bloke couldn't even remember the right word for a lighthouse. Anyway, we recovered, and off we went. And sorry about the helicopter noises that you hear later, and the brief pause while he lifts up his binoculars to check out the heron.
Headland? Lighthouse?
Oh, you hit the lighthouse, yeah. And then you go past the wooden fence. And if you look down, it's here, right?
Right.
There's, I don't know what it is. It's something growing wild, quite a lot of it. And you were in there.
Oh, right. There's something on that post out there. Is that a heron?
Yeah,
I thought I saw it. Just saw it.
It'd be a place for a heron to be fishing, isn't it?
Yeah, well, exactly, yeah. Come along here much?
No, not really. I usually there's a good walk near where I live.
All right, where's that?
Up in Farnworth and Widnes.
Oh right, okay.
And you can walk through what used to be the old railway line that went from Bull Colliery in St Helens,
right,
to West Bank.
Okay.
But now it's part of it is a footpath.
Right.
And what isn't a footpath is under Watkinson Way, which is now the Widnes Bypass.
Oh, okay.
So it's under there now, so right. It's all gone.
I've been walking quite a lot of the Trans-Pennine.
Yeah.
And a lot of that's on the old Cheshire lines.
That's right. Well, yeah. From where I live, if I come out of where the apartments where I live and go up past the Church View and Cranshaw Lane and go to the Dream, which is the old Sutton Manor Colliery.
Right.
And I usually go and sit at the Dream. There's deer there, and I've never seen them, but a few people I know have, you know.
Yeah, right. Well, somebody was saying how the river's much cleaner now.
Salmon in here now.
Yeah, salmon, right. Yeah.
And then when I walk back, if I walk back the same way to where I live, it's about 4 1/4 miles.
Yeah,
it's a good walk.
What's that there making that noise there?
It's a lapwing now.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah.
I just wish I knew more about birds, I don't.
That's because we're here now. Usually they go where it's quite tall, the grass, you know.
Oh, okay.
They will nest in there pretty soon, you know.
God, you can hear that, can't you?
Don't see them. You used to see thousands of them down here.
Yeah. So that's a lapwing. What was the other thing you saw?
Bullfinches.
Bullfinches,
three,
yeah.
Three or four of them. Definitely three, but I wasn't sure on the other one.
Oh, I'll keep an eye out for those.
Just as you go past it, if you're going straight on.
Yeah.
And you'll get the wooden fence with the lighthouse behind.
Right.
And at the end of the fence, if you walk another 5 yards and look down to your right, that's where they were.
Okay.
You'll notice that in this conversation, diagonal walking doesn't come up at all. That's not that unusual, in as much as on that day I wasn't wearing my diagonal walking t-shirt, or indeed my diagonal walking baseball hat. So there was no particular reason why it should have come up, other than it might have been quite nice to ask, well, you're not from round here, you're a little woolly, aren't you? What brings you here? So there you have it, an encounter, albeit a brief encounter. There's only so long I can keep going on the subject of bird watching. Hopefully an interesting insight, though, to life on the road. So, that's about it for this podcast extra. I hope you've enjoyed listening to my ramblings, and if you have, please feel free to rate the podcast on iTunes. So, until next time, keep diagonal!